That's a really good song. Let's see if I got turned on. I believe it did. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. A really, really good song, Father On. You know, before that, we were singing about everybody will be happy over there. And, you know, it's just, I got thinking about the promises we have from God about things changing and things getting better. I want to start out this morning and make everybody aware of this. We've got a court hearing coming up for Beth and Nate concerning the children, February the 7th. And I'm going to tell you what, I've declared this year our year, and we're going to get our kids back. Now, I'm mentioning this now, and I'm going to remind you the next couple of weeks, they don't need anybody to do anything except, if possible, show up. That's all I ask you to do, just show up. And you can talk to them about the time and where it's going to be. It's going to be in Lafayette, probably. And, you know, I know a lot of people's working, a lot of people's busy, but if there's a way that day, I'd like to say, you know, when they open the hearing over there, I'd like them to look out and say, who are all these people? And we're going to tell them it's their family. That's their family. So if you can start making arrangements to go that day, I think it'd be good. Like I said, they're not asking for statements. They're not going to put you on a stand. They're going to put a tag on you that says this is our kids. And we're going to sit in the courtroom just for support. Okay, so I'll keep reminding you that. We want to try to get a turnout if possible. Y'all be praying about it. If you can go, that'd be a good thing. I want to recover these kids this year. I think that's one of our projects. And I, like I said, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I claim it in the name of Jesus. Claim it in the name of Jesus. I want to read a few verses of Scripture, and then we're going to take just a little bit of break in the service and take care of a few things. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, if you'll turn there with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I want to start in this, and then we're going to have we're going to pray for some people in a few minutes, but I want you to think about this as we're moving toward that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 1, who is as a wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. I want to stop right there just for a few minutes. And we're talking about wise people. You know, a lot of people consider themselves to be wise and knowledgeable and know a lot of things. But if you're not wise in the ways of God, you're just not really wise at all. We need to understand the wisdom comes from God. It moves us to a place that we would accept the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And when we start talking about the wisdom of a king, how much greater is the wisdom of God? And so it talks about there's power in the word of a king. There is power. And how much more the word of God is our power. And so when we start talking about wisdom, one of the first things I'd say is, well, when we become wise in the ways of God, we follow his commandments. You know, that's wisdom in the eyes of God, that we follow his commandments and do what he asks us to do. I want to stop now and let you have just a few minutes to consider this wisdom. Are you wise in what God says to do? I had a request this morning from Sue Gray, and she wants us to bring her up, and elders of the church pray over and anoint her. We'll do that just in a minute, and anyone else. In James chapter 5, and verse 13 and 14, it said, is any afflicted, any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. And then in verse 14, it said, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And so we have the commandment of God. We have his illustration of how we do and how we handle a sickness. And, you know, we've been contending with a house full, a church full of sickness day in and day out. And I'm thankful that some of us are wise enough to say, well, this is what God tells us to do that we may recover. That we call the elders of the church, we pray over them, we anoint them with oil. And so when we start down to the wisdom part, and we're going to cover in a few minutes the wisdom of salvation. But right now we're talking about the wisdom to know what God's word says and be obedient to that. Sue had called me earlier I'm not going to limit this to Sue. She did call, and I'm going to have her come on up. And anybody that'd like to join her, that if you've got a sickness or you've got a need of some kind, if you can, just come on up. If you can come to the altar, good. If not, we'll get you a chair. I'm going to call the elders of the church. Anyone else need to come up? Troy, I'd like to pray for you. I know what you're facing. Come up with them. Got Frank's been sick 10 weeks. Sue's facing a sickness and a problem. Troy's got open heart surgery coming up on Friday. Joyce has been sick, I don't know, several weeks. Got a problem with ears and throat and several things. And we're going to pray and ask God to handle these situations in life. Anybody else need to come up? Anybody else? Everybody, we'll just push up real close. Did you get the oil out, Melvin? Nope, I got it. Hand that around if you would. Hand it back over this way too. Everybody push up closer. If you can't touch them, put your hand on somebody else. Dear Heavenly Father, we've come following your commandments and your word that the sick come and call the elder of the church, that we lay hands on them, we anoint them with oil and ask for our health, that they might regain their health and their stamina and their strength. God, we know you as a God can handle the situations that we face in life. God, that you'd just be with us tonight and help us through each situation that we face. You know, we've had the sicknesses and the problems in life. We've got the upcoming surgeries that we face, and God, we're asking your hand be upon us. Lord God, that you just help us through each situation, and God, that you continue to be with us as a God that can handle all problems. God, we come thanking you and praising you that you give us this opportunity, God, that we can be with the ones that's called for your help and your leadership and your strength. Dear God, be with us in this service. I pray, God, you just recognize our desire, what we've asking of you tonight. Lord God, be with us and help us in all this. Amen. We'll claim victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me see. I don't have any doubts that God will honor that. Amen. None whatsoever. I feel better already just doing it, don't y'all? Praise the Lord. So now we're talking about wisdom, and wisdom is the knowledge of God and following His commandments. I want to look over, if you'll turn with me to St. John chapter 3 just for a few minutes, and we're going to talk about the wisdom of salvation, you know, about being saved. There's several things I want to bring out and point in this situation. A little bit later, I want to try to give you a description of a Christian. You know, there's a lot of things that describe Christians, and I want to bring some in. St. John chapter 3 and verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he recognizes Jesus as coming from God. He recognized him as a teacher, but he's not recognizing him as the Savior of the world. And that's where it takes to for us to have salvation. When he came to him at night and he recognized the power of God. He said, I see all you're doing. I see the great works and the miracles that's taking place. And so when he comes down to Jesus, Jesus makes this very plain. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so that puts it on a pretty plain note of what Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so we're talking about for salvation, it takes a rebirth. Now, everybody here had a physical birth. I see you. I know that there was some time in your life, I probably wasn't there for part of you. Some of them I was. But you had a physical birth. You was born of a woman. But when we start talking and dealing about salvation, you have to have a spiritual birth. Now, when you were born a physical birth, everything was brand new, right? Everything was new. And I think about when we have this spiritual birth, also, everything has to be new. And so when we come down to this, and he told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Now, there's no way around that. You can search Scripture. You can search and talk to anybody you want to. And if they'll tell you the truth about the Word of God, this is the plan of salvation that God has. Whether it's in Romans 10:9-10, or whether it's in John 3:16, that's beside the point. It all points to the same way about Jesus said, you must be born again. When you're first born, do you know anything? Most people didn't. But we have a process of learning and a process of knowledge and understanding. And through that, we gain the wisdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus asked him, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And he was thinking about physical birth. Now, Jesus, I had in mind all the time about spiritual birth. A good question to Nicodemus. He is thinking about physical birth, but Jesus talking about the spiritual side of what's truly born again. This flesh was born to woman, and then this inner flesh was born to the Spirit of God. Now, that's what we want to talk about. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so we're talking about salvation by believing on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may be born again of water and of spirit. And we're talking about that spiritual birth that comes when we're saved by the grace of God. You know, there's a lot of things we can afford to be wrong about in life and get by. You know, there's some things we can kind of be wrong about and get by. But with salvation, you can't be wrong and get by. It's an absolute. We talk about absolutes of Scripture, absolutes of God. This is an absolute. It said you must be born again. Did you have a new birth in your life? Can you think of the time when you was born again, spiritually born? And when it comes down to that, it said, verse 6, it said, that which is born to the flesh is flesh, and that which is born to the spirit is spirit. And you got to make the difference. You got to discern. You've got to make a choice. It said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born to the Spirit. But now I'm going to tell you, although I can't see the wind, I can see the effects of it. Everybody in agreement with that? You know, we can go out here today, and you might not see the wind. It's invisible, but if you look at these flagpoles, you'll see the evidence that it's moving something. I believe you can see the evidence of people that's born again in the Spirit. I believe you can feel their power. I believe you can see the evidence where they're doing and what's going on. There's choices to make. In Matthew 6:24, it said, No man can serve two masters. Notice this. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so I'm standing here preaching to you according to the Word of God that there is a choice to make. You're going to either choose God or you're going to choose the things of man. One of the two. You're not going to have both. It's an impossibility that you can be saved by the grace of God and under His mercy and His kindness through grace and still hold on to those things of the world. No man can serve two masters. Let's talk just a little bit about the description of a Christian. If I started describing y'all as Christians, you know, you'd think, well, I'd say what kind of shirt you had on or what kind of dress or what kind of pants you're wearing or whatever. And, you know, I guess that'd be physical description. You know, I could describe, well, this one's got hair and that one don't, and this one's got this and that one don't. and all these things. But when you start truly coming down to a description of a Christian, describing a Christian, Christ-like. You hear it? Christ-like. What was Christ? He was love. What was Christ? He was giving. What was Jesus? Gave his life. And when we start describing a Christian, you can say, well, it's a believer on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I agree with that. That's the description of a Christian. It's one that follows the commandments of God. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Pretty plain. If you love me, keep my commandments. But then another description it gives in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17. Now listen to this one. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now I'll finish that just in a minute. But I want you to think about that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is there a newness in your life since you've received Jesus Christ? If not, you might better go back and check up and say, well, did I truly receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Do I have this promise of eternal salvation? Do I have this second birth? And so when we start thinking about these things, you know, it comes down very plain about wisdom. I'd really like people to be wise about the Word of God. God's Word said, be sure. Be sure about these things. Let's go over in 1 John chapter 5 just for a few minutes. 1 John chapter 5. And I'll start in verse 7. Y'all look at this scripture with you. I'm preaching to you the Word of God. I'm preaching enough today that get the whole world saved if they'll accept it and believe it. With all their heart. That's what it takes. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Now you notice that. These three are one. That gives a trinity. And it said there are these three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. And so there's no disagreement. It said, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not of God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And so it starts very plainly that we believe or we don't believe. You know, there's no middle ground. There's no part way. It's either all or it's nothing. That's what it is. We're either heaven bound or we're hell bound. And that's the choices we have. And we start having the wisdom of the Word of God to understand it, enough knowledge to understand and know. You know, I've gave you some description of a Christian. If that don't fit you, you better check your soul. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Is there a newness in your life since you've received Christ? That's what we need to talk about. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so it's night and day. It's yes or no. There's no in between. There's no way to divide it up. It's either all or nothing. It said, these things I have written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so these words were written to us, especially after all these scriptures we have, all these words of God we have. He comes over and he said, I wrote these that you that believe on the name of the Son of God may know that you have eternal life. That's our purpose here today, to know that you have eternal life. That you didn't miss it. You didn't misinterpret. It was real. That when Jesus came in your life, it made a difference. It changed something. Jesus brings change. Now we start talking about that, and I'm serious about this, whether it comes from John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, whether it comes there or whether it comes from Romans 10, and we'll look at a few verses of that. In Romans 10, verse 8, it said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And you know, that word of God and that word of faith is through this church right now. It's affecting a lot of different people. I can tell by looking back and feel the power of God working. He's working in this. That power is nigh thee right now. This is your time. This is your opportunity. It said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, what an opportunity we have, and what a simple thing it is that we confess sins, yes, amen, and God forgives sins. And then we ask Jesus to come in our heart. It said, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, that's plain as I know how to preach it. We either are or we're not. We either are or we're not. Romans chapter 13. Turn over there with me. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. This is the closest time you'll ever come to that salvation, right now, this opportunity. It said it's time to wake out of our sleep. Don't be in a daze. Don't sleep through this. Wake up. Hear the word of God. It said the night is far spent. You know, every time I read that, I get thinking about his life. You know, I can look back through here, and there's people in here from this big and that old till on up in age. I'm going to tell you, for a lot of us, the night's far spent. I guarantee you, there's a lot of us got more days behind than we've got ahead. You understand where I'm at? And so let's don't sleep through this time. Let's not let it pass. Let's think about, evaluate our salvation. Is there a change in your life? Do you know you have Jesus, your Lord and Savior? Without a doubt, that if this, if your life was required right now, reading back there in Ecclesiastes, it talked about that nobody knows about the day of their passing, that we're not in control of that. It can come at any time. And it said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I'm going to stop right there. Let's have a verse for song and an altar call. I don't do altar calls. God does. I believe God's working and dealing with somebody in this house right now that you need to shore up your foundation and your salvation to know that God's real in your life. Know that God's real in your life. Everybody stand, please.